listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Of Revelation, the letter the Lord Jesus ordered John to write to the seven churches, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them which hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone and a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Let's pray that God will give us an understanding of these words. We can give thanks not only for the word, but we can give thanks as we're taught in the word, both by example and teaching, that there is, as was sung, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Probably better to use the word all our needs than our wants, because sometimes our wants may not be right. But God knows our needs. Let's ask Him to show us, even through these words, both what our needs are and how they can be met through Christ. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, who is alone the way, the truth, and the life, who is the first and the last, who was dead and is alive, and even now at Thy right hand, waiting for His enemies to become His footstool. And then one day, Lord Jesus, Thou wilt come again in the clouds of glory. Help us to understand these things rightly. Help us to prepare for that. Help us to have comfort in the fact that Thou art preparing a place for us and also preparing us for that place. And we pray especially for the latter, that the church might be prepared in reviving, in being once again used for Thy glory, used for the good of mankind, used to rightly do what is needed in obedience to Thee, in obedience to our neighbor, and especially to preach the gospel to the lost, even to every creature, as was commanded. And we pray, Father, that this might be done by the leading of the Spirit, both by Thy reviving the church of the present time, and also adding to it and calling many laborers to go into the fields which are whiter the harvest, where the laborers are few, both the Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, that that gospel might soon be preached in every nation, every tongue, every tribe. We also pray for Thy word to be accompanied with Thy Spirit wherever it is heard, and even these words now to us, that we might have the Spirit who alone can lead into all truth, who can humble us and then lift us up in Christ, making the church one, losing self and gaining Christ. And we pray, Father, that that might be done today. We ask, Father, for Thy blessing on all the needs that there are, the spiritual ones first, that we might be made to seek Thy kingdom, that we might be made to seek to build Thy kingdom, knowing that at the same time that except Thou dost build a house, that they labor in vain. Thou hast told us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is Thee, through Christ, that works in us, both to will and to do of Thy good pleasure. And we pray that Thou wilt both work and make us to work and to bring forth fruit. We pray, Father, that we might see the urgency of the times, the terribleness of what is taking place in the wars that bring homelessness, bring fear, injury, death, sorrow, hatred, all that terrible hatred that is supposedly even taught and believed that it comes from Thee, but it comes from Him who is the liar, the murderer. And we pray, Father, that this might be seen and recognized, that Thou, Lord Jesus, art one that was born with the angels announcing peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and that Thy teaching, Lord Jesus, is to love our enemies, to do good unto them that despitefully use us, to pray for them. And we pray now, Father, both for them and for ourselves, that we might do rightly in thought, word, and deed concerning our enemies, concerning all others, and that we might have the wisdom that comes from on high, the wisdom that begins with a fear of Thee. For Thou hast said it at the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding. And Father, we need that first, and then having that fear, not a wrong fear, but a fear and reverence, a fear and trust, a fear knowing that without Thee we can do nothing, and that with Thee, Father, all things are possible. And we pray that we might have that faith to believe it and then rightly ask for those things needed through Christ. We pray also for the temporal things in the home, in the workplace, in the schools, in government, those that need the healing hand of the body. We pray, Father, for those in sorrow, those in lonesomeness, in older age, all the needs that there are, the hungry, the starving, and again, the homeless, especially because of the war and other calamities in nature. And Father, we pray above all that we might know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from thy mouth for thy glory and our present and eternal good, through Christ. Amen. As we look at this word once again, we have read it the last few weeks, considered it. Last week we considered much of what was said here concerning Satan, and that there is such a being. We read in the 9th verse, the synagogue of Satan. In the 10th verse, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And then later in the 13th verse, in the letter to the church at Pergamos, where Satan dwelleth. Satan, the god of this world. Satan, who was there with Eve in the garden. Satan, who came before the Lord in the time of Job's life. And we read there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and about all that he hath on every side, and hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? Put forth now thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. This is real history. This is that which took place. And God gives us that history of it in his holy word, which is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Later, we see Satan coming back. He had taken away Job's children, his possessions. Job simply said, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And Satan came back, and then he says, well, touch his body, touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to his face. And then God allowed Satan to visit and afflict Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot to his crown. And there he sat in the ash heap. But he still did not curse God. His wife said, curse God and die. And he said, you speak as one of the foolish ones. Shall not we receive good from the hand of God and evil? And again, in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Later, he did come to some complaint, and later he also admitted and said, I spoke that which I understood not. I lay my hand upon my mouth. And then he gave God glory in it all. And all was overcome that Satan did. And we read here, Satan shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And then the last part of that letter to the church at Smyrna, the 11th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I am rather old in life. Not many years left. Death will come. On the one hand, we've already all had a death. We died in Adam, born dead in sin. But I think here when he says the second death, he doesn't mean the death of our body, when we will be laid in the grave. But the second death is the day of judgment, when the world will be divided, some to eternal life and some perishing in what is called eternal death, eternal darkness. And it says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. These people would probably die for their faith. The Lord Jesus said, the last part of the 10th verse, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Many would shudder. Many would shun having to die for the faith. But there really is no greater blessing on earth than to die for the faith. And I don't, one blessing that would supersede it, the overt, was the blessing of salvation itself, but in our doing. Salvation is by Christ's doing, His dying, His resurrection, all for us. But things that we can do afterwards in the life of sanctification. Those that died for the faith often died singing, died giving the message to those round about them. And here Christ says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And then as He ends each one of these seven letters, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then also each one of them, he speaks about he that overcometh. And using those same words for all the churches, but in each one, a different message in the overcoming. The church at Ephesus, the first one was, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And then this one here, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The other letter that we read to Pergamos, the 17th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So to each one, there is the challenge. There is the urging to overcome. And there is a way to overcome. Only one way. The way of Christ. We might call it the new and living way. John speaks of it, Father, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11. He speaks of those that overcame him, Satan, described in the first, just prior to that, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And then the next verse, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death, willing to die for him who died for us. Our dying is immediately into glory. His dying was to be buried for those 3 days. Dying for us, dying under the curse. If we have believed and die for the faith, what a wonderful thing it really is. How much better? No comparison to anyone who would deny Christ and live for a short time on earth, and then have, possibly, eternal death. Christ said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And also the warning that if we do not confess him, we are ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of us before his Father. So we have here the statement of a letter to them, but also a message to us. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. If we have overcome in this life, we don't have to fear the day of judgment. Then, the letter to the church in Pergamos. We looked at it last week to some extent and saw that the Lord Jesus was the one that had the sharp sword with two edges. God tells us by the pen of Paul, the book of Hebrews, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And here he describes the words that come from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And everything that he says is true. In our hard hearts, we sometimes don't hear it. We don't have the ear to hear. We don't obey it. We don't believe it. But he can make us hear. He can make us hear. There was a day when he made me hear that which I would not hear before. Not want to believe the truth from his word. The truth of my sinfulness that I didn't believe was there to the extent that God's word says it is. And he made me believe it, what I didn't believe before. And the extent of God's greatness, his sovereignty, his rule over all men. He can show mercy to whom he will, and whom he will he hardeneth. We all deserve to be left in our hardness, and he can leave us to ourselves only to become harder. That's why he says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Each day we refuse it, our heart becomes harder. And if God doesn't, with his spirit, make that word sharper than a two-edged sword, working by the Spirit and at the same time he doing what he describes to different places, to different people, opening their hearts. With the apostles, he opened their understanding that they might understand the word. Up to that time, they had not fully received the word, and particularly not the gospel. The Lord Jesus had told them different times, I'm going to suffer, die, rise again the third day. They didn't hear it. One time, Peter even protested it. And when it happened, they still didn't know it. They didn't see the kingdom of God in its wonder, in its fullness, God having so loved the world that he gave his son. And as Lord Jesus said just before those words in John 3:16, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Those are the words of the gospel. Those are the words that we must particularly hear. As Paul could say, I shun not to declare the whole counsel of God, but he said, I preach unto you Christ and him crucified. That was his message. That was the heart of it. And over and over. And that's why don't forget what we saw earlier. I am the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. There are whole droves of people who deny it. They have a book that denies that, gives us a lie instead. But the scripture is right, even though it has been wrested, even though there are those who say it's not true, it's been changed. Yes, there are those who want to change the message, but the Bible stays the same. The scripture stays the same. The scripture has been fulfilled, what was written many times before. Many things about Christ were written 700 years before by Isaiah. There are many things that were written much longer before by Moses of Christ, and they were fulfilled. All fulfilled. And now there still are things spoken in the scriptures that will be fulfilled. And I know that each one of us thinks that God says, if they are fulfilled, we come to know it. I know the Bible is true because it's the only book and the only source that tells me exactly my sin. Exactly. And it's terrible. So terrible that I deserve hell. And yours is the same. And Christ died for such sinners. And the Bible describes exactly Christ. Don't let anybody tell you that it's different. Don't let anybody tell you he's not the Son of God that has come, has lived, has died, did rise again, and now is speaking here from heaven through the pen of John to this church and to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And then the next letter. And from that sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Hast not denied my faith. His faith? Thought we always thought of our faith. But there is his faith as well as the faith in him. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yes, there must be a faith in him. But the faith in him is also the faith of him. That's why he can be called the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why, as Paul writes to the church at Galatia, it's a faith revealed, a faith given, particularly to pardon us. We can't just pardon ourselves, no more than a criminal can pardon himself when he can only have it from a president or a governor or a king. He must be pardoned. And we must be pardoned from someone else. Pardoned by God because of Christ. Pardoned because he paid the price. We are the guilty one. And if we are the ones that know our guilt, we want a pardon. We want it revealed. We want it as faith in Christ that he died for me. Knowing it's for me. I needed it. You needed it. And then we know it's the faith of him. He gave it to us. As Paul said to the Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's salvation by faith in Christ, and it's salvation by grace from God, all because of Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.